Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us on a fine Wednesday. Coming up this hour, we have a champ and a chump. Also, John Harper's going to join us, longtime baseball writer. He has a Hall of Fame vote. We'll talk to him about the Cooperstown vote from yesterday as Jeter gets in and only one voter said no, which means he was one vote shy of a unanimous election, would only be the second time ever in Major League Baseball history behind Mariano Rivera. Also, Larry Walker gets in. And Clemens, Bonds, and Schilling, who were trending in the direction of getting in early last week, fell short. We'll talk about that, and we'll ask John what's next, when will the other shoe drop on Major League Baseball's investigation surrounding the Boston Red Sox cheating. Last night, at Fog Allen Fieldhouse, we got ourselves a melee, a brawl breaking out. Now, in this game last night, Kansas ranked number three in the country. Kansas State, a sub-500 team. But these two programs do not like one another. Separated by about an hour of driving in the state of Kansas. They're obviously in-state rivals. Players don't like one another. Fans don't like one another. And usually Kansas gets the better of the Sunflower Showdown. In this game, Kansas is leading by 22 points in the waning seconds when they are trying to dribble out the clock. At this point in time, one of the K-State players tries to steal the ball during dribbling out the clock and does and takes it half court for a would-be layup. He is blocked, and while laying on the floor as time expires, Silvio D'Souza, a sophomore big man for Kansas, who did the block, stands over him, taunts him, and flexes, which then leads to the brawl. He's standing over DeJuan Gordon. DeJuan gets up, pushing ensues, throwing punches ensues, both benches clear, and this is all happening in the handicapped area of Fog Allen Fieldhouse. At one point, Silvio D'Souza, the man that started this brawl by standing over Gordon, picks up a folding stool and raises it over his head like he is the Iron Sheik and is about to throw it down on one of the K-State players when an assistant coach grabs it from behind and he drops it. And we've got the audio of this from last night at Fog Allen Fieldhouse. And obviously neither coach is proud of it. They're both ashamed, embarrassed, and they should be. Those two teams last night made themselves a spectacle, and it was all ugly. And I would say there's a little bit of blame that goes to K-State and DeJuan Gordon trying to steal the ball and doing so while KU is running out the clock, dribbling out the clock. creates now some intensity. Had that not happened, and their head coach Bruce Weber says, I told the guys lay off, but Gordon's really competitive, none of this transpires. But ultimately, this is on Kansas because Silvio D'Souza creates all of the friction, block, standing over the block, standing over the player, and up 22 points, game is over, yelling while standing over the player.
Silvio gets in the face of the Wildcats, who'd stolen the ball as he was trying to dribble off the clock. He posterizes the Cats, and now there's a scrum. Players from both sides at each other.
Oh, no.
Now they're running into the handicap section behind the basket. There are fans involved trying to separate the Wildcats. And this just ends ugly.
Brian Haney on Learfield, IMG, for the Kansas Jayhawks Radio Network. D'Souza is so lucky that he did not swing that stool. And the NCAA is lucky. And Kansas is lucky. And K-State is lucky. And the Big 12 is lucky. Because could you imagine a player with a folding stool using that as a weapon against a player, or God forbid it hits a fan? They have spilled over into the handicap section for fans. Could you imagine if that connects? It would be worse than the Malice at the Palace. Could you imagine if he hit a fan with a folding chair? That was an enormous bullet dodged. And D'Souza, who has already been a foul of the NCAA for eligibility issues with the Adidas investigation surrounding KU a couple of years ago, is now going to get a major suspension again. He's only a sophomore. Let's start here. Some people are calling for D'Souza to never play college basketball again. I don't think it's crazy to say you're suspended for the season. The rest of this year, done. NCAA tournament, done. Big 12 tournament, done. I think that's fine. D'Souza should not play the rest of the season. But should you take away the rest of his college eligibility for last night? I think that's a bridge too far. Mraz, where do you stand?
You know, I just wanted to actually really quick look up, what was Marcus Smart's suspension when he went after the fan? Because to me, that's far worse than what D'Souza did, although D'Souza did pick up a stool.
The stool part is the worst part.
Right. Now, he was lucky that, because if it wasn't for somebody else knocking it basically out of his hand, which is what happened, he might have swung it. He was cocked back ready to. And that is a danger. If you're college basketball, you're the NCAA, and a guy can have a switch like that go off his head in a heat of a moment and think that's okay, that's alarming. As far as kicking him out of college basketball forever, look, remove him for the season. Have him have to come back, play his junior year, maybe his senior year, see where his career goes from there. But for him to lose basketball potentially for the rest of his life for this instance in this moment, while it's a very bad one, I have a hard time with that. But I would remove him for the rest of the year.
I think he's got to be removed the rest of the year. And had he swung the chair, I could get behind suspending him for life, tossing him out of college basketball.
I agree. And Marcus Smart suspended 3 games, shoved a fan while I was in college. Shoved a fan and only got 3 games, and you want to kick D'Souza out for the rest of his college career? That is a big swinging scale.
Had he swung the chair and connected on somebody, he's done.
Right. Well, that's Miles Garrett swinging the helmet at Mason Rudolph.
Now, Miles Garrett only got suspended the rest of the year. He's going to come back this upcoming season. He's not kicked out of the NFL.
He's not kicked out of the NFL, but he was suspended indefinitely. It could be.
But we know that he's going to come back this upcoming season.
Right, right.
So kicking D'Souza out of this season, fine. And again, had he swung the chair, had he connected with the chair, that's a totally different beast. I'm not going to get behind the calls like from Dick Vitale to kick Silvio D'Souza out of college basketball for life. That feels too aggressive. Bilotti, where do you come down on the suspension of D'Souza?
I'd say the rest of the year.
But you would stop short of the rest of his career?
Yeah. But like you said, if the chair connects, that's it. It's all over. But I would go the rest of the season. Because, you know, if you bring it to the brass tacks, you're still, this is a learning experience, and this should be a way for him to learn for the rest of his career.
And thank goodness he didn't swing the chair, because at least you could say, okay, I've learned from this. Had he swung the chair and hurt somebody, you can't really learn from that because you've already done the destruction.
Right, and the NCAA can't have in this season Kansas and Bill Self go on a great run through the NCAA tournament, end up in the Final Four, while D'Souza's playing, and basically
can't happen.
And basically on their big broadcast, ignore the fact that this happened earlier in the year where maybe the casual college basketball fan isn't aware of it. It's brutal.
Can't happen. What a weird college basketball season, by the way. We've had all of these upsets. I mean, everybody that's been ranked in the top three or top five in upset this year. North Carolina's having perhaps its worst season ever. Certainly since Dean Smith and Roy Williams have been there and this kind of last 45 years. On top of it, you have the best player in basketball maybe being suspended, not suspended. Maybe he's eligible at Memphis. Maybe he's not eligible. Now he's just out of the sport. You have kind of this really bizarre open March Madness where there is really no dominance, although Duke has won seven games by 30 points or more this year. And then this brawl. College basketball is either going to have its best March Madness ever or its worst. I can't decide. This is the weirdest season of all time.
You could get to deep March and have San Diego State and Rutgers in the Elite Eight. That's the way the season has unfolded so far.
And that feels slightly terrifying.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Is that really what you want to put your feet up and sit down and there's Nance cutting off the tie and hand it to somebody from San Diego State or Rutgers?
Is a stool in that instance the most dangerous thing a player can grab on a court and swing?
I still think if you unplug the electronic board that controls the scoreboard, because now you have...
Okay, it's like that control panel
right.
On the score table that has little bells and whistles and levers.
Right, because number one, it has prongs sticking out. It would be like wrapping a bat and barbed wire, like the levers and buttons and all that. It's still very heavy. There's electronic stuff flying that could cause sparks immediately if there's still some supercharged parts.
Sparks.
You never know. To me, that's the most dangerous. A stool would be number two. And I would still go, you know, 1 foot away from you, throwing a basketball full speed in somebody's direct face could knock you unconscious, too.
That could break your nose, could knock out some teeth. But it's the metal part that's really going to do damage here. The stool is going to do damage. The scorer's table buzzer thing is going to do damage. And let's face it, folding chair. I mean, this was just a stool. Those heavy folding chairs, Bilotti?
Yeah, the ones with the big pads on it.
Yeah.
Those things are hard to pick up. And if you can pick it, but if you can pick them up and get some momentum behind it, that could cause some damage.
Bad damage. Now, there's always the pen, you know, a coach's pen, a scorer's pen.
But now we're talking about shanking somebody.
You could jab that in somebody's eye.
Or what if the net falls off the rim? You could choke somebody out with the net.
Huh.
Well, if you're going to stab somebody with a Bic, I'm sure you could turn around and choke somebody out with a net.
Well, I just don't think I've ever seen the net fall off the rim.
Well, they cut it off if they advance.
Yeah, so
this is a big game and it gets cut off and you throw it down to the ground and all of a sudden somebody's getting choked out by it. You got a real choking hazard.
Okay, all right. How about the clipboard? The coach's clipboard.
I feel like that could snap pretty easily. Like, that'll hurt, but that won't be as bad as the other items.
You'd have to get the metal part of it and kind of slash the face with it.
You're going deep. You're slashing. You're stabbing.
You're talking about choking people out with the net.
You open that can of worms with the stabbing of a pen.
I'm just saying.
I'm looking to hit somebody with an electronic board.
Silvio D'Souza might have picked up one of the four most dangerous weapons on a basketball court last night.
Oh, you know what? What about the squeegee broom?
Okay, yeah, the sweat mop?
Yeah, the sweat mop. That could cause damage.
Swinging the sweat mop?
Swinging that? And you got more back control there?
Now, what's the more dangerous side to hit somebody with the sweat mop? The mop side or the stick side?
I think the stick side. Although the mop side, you have more of a chance of connecting. But I think a direct whack to the side of the cranium involving the stick side will leave a man probably, I would say...
Certainly dazed.
What's the word for coma?
Comatose?
Comatose for a week?
That sounds very medical of you. I would say swinging the mop side, though, the mop connector to the stick is a heavy metal contraption that keeps all that mop.
You know what we're learning here throughout this exercise? And
there's a lot of dangerous things in the basketball floor.
That, and you love metal objects. You're looking for the piece of metal connected to everything. You know, basically, if I brought to you, well, what if you took off somebody's sneaker and ripped it? You'd say, well, the little metal circle covering the area where the shoelace was in. Imagine getting connected with that part. You run around collecting scrap metal on the weekends? What are you doing?
A lot of episodes of MacGyver. I know what metal can do. Metal is the key. Always is.
The guardrails?
The guardrails? What kind of guardrails?
They're accessible, those the steel guardrails that block off the fans if there's some in an arena.
Wow. Steel guardrails. Yeah, if you could pick that one up, I suppose.
Who has ever picked up a steel guardrail in their life?
Well, it's dangerous. It could be.
I think that basically Silvio De Souza picked up one of the four or five most dangerous objects on a floor in a basketball stadium or arena. And nearly used it as a swinging weapon. I mean, think about the potential damage that could have been done.
On second thought, get him out for life.
Definitely the season.
Definitely the season.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Alien OG tweets, morning DA, KU fan here, can't be more disappointed in what I saw. Paul tweets, D'Souza has been nothing more than a distraction and a disgrace in his days at KU. Hashtag get him out. Craig tweets, Jason Bourne killed a Treadstone agent with a magazine. I'm pretty sure a Bic in the right hands is absolutely deadly.
Jason Bourne doesn't have any NCAA eligibility. It's a far different brain.
Different brain. All right. We're also asking you guys today, we had SpongeBob SquarePants call into the show earlier in the morning from a pineapple under the sea while listening to radio.com.
DA, this is the coolest thing I've ever been for in my entire life.
And we are asking you, is that impression better than my John Gruden? That is the poll question today.
Well, let's hear some Gruden.
You know, Sean, I'm just looking for football players. I need toughness. I need football players. I need guys that want to get in the trenches. I can win with those guys, Sean.
I said you're Gruden, not your Ditka.
That is the Gruden.
Well, let's hear your Ditka.
The Bears.
Come on!
Well, it's different because the Ditka
is the same thing as the Gruden.
It's not a Ditka impersonation. It's a Chicago superfan impersonation who loves Ditka from the SNL.
That'd be the equivalent of SpongeBob calling back and saying, here's his Hank Hill impersonation from King of the Hill, and he sounds exactly like SpongeBob.
Well, good morning, DA, and everybody in the mothership.
I'll tell you what. We once coached against Orlando Pace. That guy is a big beast. We tried to block him with three guys, including Steve Wisniewski, who was one of the toughest guys you'll ever see. But that Pace, he got around us, Sean. He got around us to the quarterback. We couldn't get through him. Great Wall of China over there.
This is the coolest thing ever.
I'm losing it.
You're bombing big time.
I used to have a better Gruden. I need to hear Gruden to do the Gruden.
Well, do you think SpongeBob listened to SpongeBob and jumped right on the air? No, he was ready to go after the bit about Larry Walker's shirt. That's a performer.
You can vote at CBSSportsRadio.com.
So cool!
When we come back, a champ and a chump. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
Your champ of the morning, legendary high school basketball coach Morgan Wooten, passed away at the age of 88 years old. The legend of DeMatha Catholic in D.C. won five mythical high school national championships, won nearly 1,300 games in his tenure between the 50s, 1956, and 2002. He only lost 192 games versus nearly 1,300 wins. He's in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. He has coached Adrian Dantley, Kenny Carr, Danny Ferry, Sidney Lowe, Adrian Branch, all NBA players. John Wooden adored him, and he said that basketball, as important as it was the fourth most important thing in life behind God, family, and education. He never cursed. He banned profanity. He didn't like screaming because he thought it created a hostile atmosphere. He said, true basketball coaches are great teachers. You do not humiliate, physically go after, push or shove, berate if you are a true head coach. He said he loved being a head coach and had turned down head coaching jobs at Maryland, North Carolina, Duke over the years, over the decades, because he said, you forget your teachers, but you never forget your coach in high school. I can make that type of impact. Morgan Wooten, Hall of Fame dude, Hall of Fame coach, passing away at the age of 88.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump is Pedro Martinez, because Pedro is ripping Mike Fiers, saying that he was a bad teammate, saying that you just call your GM if you don't like what's going on. You say, I don't want to be part of this. Trade me. But you're a bad teammate if you throw everybody under the bus because of the cheating scandal, which is the type of silence, code of conduct, cone of silence that leads to cheating scandals. Because I can only imagine Mike Fiers going, hey, guys, I don't want to be part of this. And them going, boo, shut up, boo. I can only imagine him going to his general manager. Hey, I know that we're cheating around here. Can you trade me? You immediately get blacklisted, blackballed around baseball. I don't mind at all that Mike Fiers was the one guy that actually put his name to it. I'd rather somebody put their name to it and saying, boo, you're a traitor. Bad teammate is such a baseball thing to do. So, Pedro, as much as I love your pitching and love your analysis so many times, this commentary is ridiculous.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your bus care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Pete the Body Bilotti has gotten into the reads today. He has listed some Easter eggs in there for me to read because Mraz was supposed to do his job for him. And of course, after the strike, Mraz did not proofread anything or take any time to actually do any work. So that's why Bilotti purposefully put in misspellings and miswordings. You know, Sean, what you see coming up here is the two trap Spider 9 Foxtrot Muskegee. Okay? And what you're going to see Drew Stanton do is throw it in the turkey hole, okay? And I was once told by Leon Lett that the turkey hole, he could hit a quarterback in the turkey hole while actually eating a turkey leg. Okay, Sean? And I could win football games. He is a great football player, Sean.
So cool.
It's almost like Gruden pre-puberty. Like, you need something to drop and your voice to get a little deeper. And then maybe you'd sound like John Gruden.
He doesn't have a very deep voice, though.
It's deeper than that voice, though.
All he's got is Sean.
Right.
He's just focusing on the Sean part from Monday Night Football. And
Muskegee was good, too.
No, what you're doing is you're just throwing in random NFL players' names and hoping that's what gets people to laugh when they hear a Leon Lett and a Drew Stanton in the same sentence. But all you got impersonation-wise is Sean. You even tried with the Spider Y2 banana, but it just fell flat.
So here's the thing. I think you're not giving me enough credit because right now the poll question at CBS Sports Radio is 55% SpongeBob as the better impersonation, 45% me as John Gruden. So I think, number one, you guys are not giving me enough credit. Number two, I could understand if Frank Caliendo or Jay Farrow was telling me this, but you guys have no impersonations. I mean, Mraz, you have absolutely no vocal range. All you do is squeal all day.
He does do that weird baby voice thing that we discussed once.
When he talks to his Pomeranians.
And his daughter.
Ooh, want to go boo-boo.
Yeah.
We're going to go into the car, do boo-boo-boo.
I do Mike Francesa.
Okay, let's hear it.
Eric and the fan here. Eric, you doing all right? Okay.
Okay, so that's just grunting.
Yeah, but that's what he does.
That's just grunting.
That's Mike with emphysema. That's not the same thing.
Okay, I'm in the car.
I do a BT.
Okay.
Turn into the Discovery Channel tonight. It's A Man versus the Bear with me, BT, and Chris Mullen.
That's a pizzeria clerk.
That magical feeling pulsates through the shaft.
That magical feeling pulsates through the shaft.
Okay, that's not bad.
You can do a Mad Dog, can't
you? That's actually
you?
Not bad.
No.
No?
No.
Okay, so you've got two radio hosts as your resume, your catalog of impersonations.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't pretend to be Mr. Impersonation.
I know, but you grading me for doing impersonations.
I do Bilotti.
Okay.
Gotta have some pride here. Don't be a cashier when they got the clerks everywhere else. Have some pride.
That's horrible. Come on. Give me some juice.
Very, very bland.
Very bland.
Nice dodge.
A soup substance.
A soup substance.
I actually like your Bilotti. The only thing is you do that voice for a lot of people.
Right, but it just works for Bilotti best. Yeah. I agree.
Sean also has that like mob voice that sneaks in sometimes.
Right, but not really an impersonation. That's just him getting angry.
Right. Yeah, it's not. He's not impersonating Tony Soprano. It just happens naturally at some point.
I cooked dinner for my wife.
Oh,
hey, horses as hooves.
Hooves. Give me one shot to get a better Gruden than DA.
Okay.
Sean, I'll tell you, this guy could play on my team any day.
That's pretty good. I don't think it's better than me, but it's pretty good.
It's at least on par with you, which is that me? That's me off the cuff. That's you practicing at home in front of a mirror.
I'm not practicing at home. Also, you just did one sentence. If you could do more than one sentence.
Oh, Leon Lett with the turkey hole, Sean. Let me tell you something about Leon Lett and Drew Stanton.
I think you lost it.
All right. I mean, again, I don't pretend to be Frank Caliendo.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
What about Lombardi? I need a seal here and a seal there.
Oh, come on.
The funny thing is that you're not really even trying to do impersonations. You're just saying what their catchphrases are.
Yeah, giving the inflection.
So we are asking you at CBS Sports Radio on Twitter right now, who's the better impersonation, SpongeBob calling in earlier this morning or my John Gruden? When we come back here on the show, we're going to have John Harper, SNY Baseball Insider, on the Hall of Fame vote. We've also got headlines right now. Andrew Bogish is in. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No suspense yesterday for Derek Jeter. He was getting into baseball's Hall of Fame no matter what. The only question was, would he be a unanimous choice? He was not. The drama was with Larry Walker and Curt Schilling, the MVP and former batting champ, got in by 6 votes.
A lot of things entered my head when the phone rang, and as I was hearing what was being said to me, you know, and as a Canadian, it was a proud moment for me to represent my country and be able to join Ferguson Jenkins in the Hall of Fame.
Those are the only two Canadians in Cooperstown. Schilling fell short, but seems to be in position for next year. Roger Clemens, 61%, 60.7% for Barry Bonds. They have 2 years left on the ballot, aren't trending in the right direction
I know
at the moment.
I know what this is all about. We have Canadian bacon. It's much better than American bacon.
Moving on, DA, your favorite part of the Kansas K-State brawl was the coaches post-game.
Yeah.
Mine was this. The refs made 5 players on each team come back on the floor well after the fight.
Yeah.
So the Wildcats could shoot 2 technical free throws with 1/10 of a second left. They hit one, changing the final score to 81-60 in favor of the Jayhawks.
Glad we...
Yeah.
Squared that away.
Thank goodness. Those players that came back on the floor were the only ones not ejected for fighting and or leaving the bench to join the fight.
That kind of makes it cooler.
I think so.
Those are the only eligible players to be on the floor on an untimed technical free throw.
And I have no hesitation saying I would have been one of those 10 because, A, I would not have been in the game.
Nice.
And, B, I certainly would have went in the other direction of a fight like that.
So you run away from confrontation.
I wouldn't run away, but I would have stayed away. I might have held my ground from 40 feet away.
This comes up because earlier in the morning, Mraz said he started a lunchroom brawl because somebody, some freshman, took a screw-on plastic soda cap, screwed it on the front of his forehead, and he flipped that guy into a table. Upside down, Mike, a longtime listener, tweeted, and that young freshman happened to be me.
What? It was not. It was not. It was Donald Lavoti.
Okay. Well, so is Upside Down Mike, is he misremembering?
No, I think he's just trying to be a funny guy that it was him. It was not.
It was who? Demi Lovato?
No, Donald Lavoti, whose sister later went on to become a cheerleader for the Jets. How about that?
The great Donald Lavoti.
Correct.
Always stirring up trouble.
Everyone else in college hoops behaved last night, including fourth-ranked San Diego State beating Wyoming 72-55 to remain the lone unbeaten team in the country. The Aztecs are 20-0 in the NBA. Just one game last night, the Clippers getting a 110-107 win in Dallas. Jay Gruden expected to be the Jaguars' offensive coordinator. New Giants head coach Joe Judge reportedly adding Freddie Kitchens and Brett Bielema to his staff. And J.J. Watt will host Saturday Night Live the night before the Super Bowl. Can you name the last NFL player to host SNL?
Tom Brady?
Incorrect.
Eli Manning.
Eli Manning, 7 or 8 glorious years ago.
Wow, it's been that long.
Yeah.
Huh. Eli's SNLs were actually pretty good. The Peyton Manning SNL obviously is excellent.
Correct.
Throughout NFL history, the Joe Montana Walter Payton with Church Lady is an excellent NFL sketch.
And Jordan with Stuart Smalley.
Correct.
Smiley, that's a good one too.
People like me, I'm good enough.
Exactly. DA, back to you.
All right, thank you, Andrew. We were talking about the Larry Walker effect from Coors Field. How about his home road splits, which is what kept him out of baseball's Hall of Fame for such a long time? At Coors Field, during his decade there, he hit .383. On the road, hit .281. His slugging percentage at home, .713. On the road, .518. Did Larry Walker deserve in? Should Jeter have been unanimous? And what happens with the Clemens, Bonds, steroid guys? We'll talk about the vote with Hall of Fame voter John Harper next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Beam me up, DA. You know what? The Watch DA stream, I'm hooked on it. Such a good product.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You should be watching as well at watchda.com. It's available on any device. It's how kids watch their TV on their phone or on their tablet, on their desktop, their laptop, their PC, or on their smart TV. It's free. No sign-up needed. It's just like television for the DA show. Check it out. WatchDA.com. The 2020 Cooperstown class is in. Derek Jeter is one vote short of consensus, a unanimous vote. And also, Larry Walker gets in as well, which means that Bonds and Clemens fell short, as did Curt Schilling. Longtime award-winning baseball columnist who writes for SNY now and a member of the Baseball Writers of America Association with a Hall of Fame vote. Joining me here on the show, my compatriot from SNY, John Harper. Harp, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, DA, how you doing? I'm all right. I'm not the guy that didn't vote for Jeter.
Well, so the one guy that didn't vote for Derek Jeter, do you think it's important for that person to come public and talk about why?
I do, just because I think, listen, we live in an age, man, well, you know, everything's out there now. You know, you're responsible for anything you write. Days, I remember years ago, you'd write, you never hear from readers, maybe an email here or there, and now everything's on Twitter, and I think it's good because you have to own up to what you wrote one way or another. I just think it should be transparency in these kind of votes because it's not all that important that he wasn't unanimous, but it's just such a silly thing. I mean, I thought we were past that with the Rivera thing last year. You know, years of what I always thought were older writers, and not that I'm young, but older writers defending this, I call it a pretentious tradition of going back to the days of Babe Ruth and everything else, nobody got 100%. It's just so silly. I mean, so yeah, I am kind of curious that whether it's a legitimate reason that the guy had, or it could be a woman, he or she had, or it's just some kind of protest against I don't know what. So I would like to hear from the person.
You voted for Derek Jeter, and the question is, did the person that did not, Did they either not vote for him because, A, they actually thought Jeter wasn't worthy of the Hall of Fame? B, if it goes back to, well, nobody deserves 100% of the ballot? Or is it C, that some voters throughout the years have saved votes from guys that they knew didn't need it, like Jeter in this case, to give it to somebody they thought might need it more, let's just say in this case, an Omar Vizquel? Had you ever done that, reserved a vote that you knew, hey, that guy doesn't need it, he's getting it anyway, so let me save it for a guy that might need it?
No, and I know I've heard other guys, other people who have done that, especially in recent years when it was real, the ballot was really crowded. It's been cleaned up in the last few years. A bunch of guys have gotten in. I just never saw the purpose in that. Vote for the ten players you think were the best and move on. That just didn't seem to make much sense to me. And I just wouldn't feel comfortable withholding a vote from a guy that I really thought was deserving, which would be the case in Jeter's case, certainly.
Hall of Fame voter John Harper joining us this morning on the show. You also voted for Larry Walker. For years, he did not get in. Once upon a time, had only 10% of the vote of the ballot. Got in yesterday by just 6 votes. And I think the big thing that was holding him back was the home road splits between Coors Field and then away from Coors Field. Was that the main thing, the main culprit for holding him out for so long?
I think it was that, partly that, and partly his lack of the injuries that forced him to miss time. I think he only had 1 year where he played on more than 145 games, but he was a spectacular player, all around player, defender, base runner, as well as a great hitter. And partly for ballot reasons, I didn't vote for him until the last few years, but I did also do a lot more talking to people that played or managed or even talked to executives in Colorado, and they all felt that, the home road splits you could look at, but just in terms of the injury time, that the altitude out there may help you in terms of the offense, but it does take a toll on the body, makes recovery a lot more difficult. So that was part of the reason why I came around to Larry Walker. I didn't want to hold that the injuries against him.
You voted for Curt Schilling. Schilling did not get in. I had a debate with one of your colleagues, John Heyman, on MLB Network, because Heyman was insisting it had nothing to do with his political beef.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. He says it had nothing to do with it. Voters would never hold that against Curt Schilling. I disagree, considering that Heyman actually did withhold his vote from Curt Schilling personally. Do you think that's what is holding out Schilling, or sheer numbers, that he doesn't have those milestone numbers like 300 wins?
Yeah, I saw you holding Heyman's feet to the fire that day. That was that was entertaining.
He needs it.
He had a little trouble explaining that.
I would say.
But anyway, I do think it plays a role. And as John explained, that 1 year he withheld for that reason. I do think, and it shouldn't, because to me that's a whole separate. That's not a character issue in terms of the base game itself. It's not steroids. It's not a sign stealing, whatever. It's not cheating the game. I'm not a fan of his personally and his beliefs, that's for sure. But I'm not going to hold that against him in terms of what he did in baseball. And so I think he should be in. He's one of the great all-time postseason pitchers. So I think he will get in, but I do think that's held him back.
I agree. John Harper joining us this morning on the show, Baseball Hall of Fame voter. You did not vote for Bonds or Clemens. This was as close as they had gotten, about 60%. Early when the votes were coming in, it seemed like they were going to get in. They were over the 75% threshold. They fell below to 60%. You said no to both of them. Why?
Yeah, I'm still holding out on the steroids, guys. I still think they knew exactly what they were doing. To me, they cheated the game at a high, high level. Sometimes I go back just for kind of kicks and look at Bonds, the numbers Bonds put up. He made a farce of the game. He made a farce of the record books. He was one of the great hitters of all time. And when you add in those days were transformational steroids they were taking that you couldn't take now and beat the test. I'm sure guys are still using, but not those type of steroids. I mean, it turned Bonds into an absolute monster. I'm withholding. For me, the Hall of Fame is the highest personal honor you can reward someone within the game, and I'm not gonna reward him those guys if I'm sure that they did steroids on that level.
Do you worry at all that there's already a steroid user or multiple ones in Cooperstown?
I don't worry. I mean, that's my philosophy on it was, if I'm not sure, I'll vote for the guy. So I did end up voting for guys like Piazza and Bagwell, just because it is such an important honor that I feel like I need to be sure, and I'm sure on Bonds and Clemens. So, yeah, there might be guys in there, but that doesn't mean I'm going to open the doors. I know that's an argument that a lot of people have. Well, I don't know who did and who didn't, but I'm sure about those guys. And I'm also, I hate the argument that you need to put those guys in to tell the story of the game, which is what the Hall of Fame is designed for. No, their accomplishments are noted in the Hall of Fame. They have the exhibits in there about what they did. They're just not getting the plaques as to be honored themselves.
Mm. John Harper joins us this morning here on the show, longtime baseball columnist. What is the next thing for baseball with, is it the Red Sox, handing down the Red Sox punishment?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's coming. I don't know how soon, but I'm sure it's going to be part of it. But I think now with Cora already gone, there won't be as much of it won't be as stunning, that's for sure, as whatever happened with the Astros. I don't think the Red Sox, from what we know, at least the report from the Athletic, they weren't doing it to that level. They were doing things that I think the kind of things that other teams were doing in terms of using those video rooms and the replay rooms and trying to send information to runners on base who would then relay it to the hitters. I don't know that anybody else was doing what the Astros were doing in terms of that, the straight signal to, like banging a trash can or whatever, from video to the hitter, which obviously makes it a lot easier to make that effective. So, and you're seeing from the reaction from other players that, you know, how angry guys are that was really a big deal. And it tells me that I don't think it was going on around the sport maybe as widely as some of it have projected.
Mm. So you think that the fire, the fury that's out there suggests that the Astros were alone on an island cheating to that level?
I think they could be, yeah. I think they could be. It took a lot of coordination from guys like Cora and Beltran who were paying the price, smart guys who know how to do that, who are good at that anyway, that sign steal, and just in terms of picking up what pitchers are doing, and they took it to another level. So, yeah, I mean, again, I think like the Red Sox, well, Cora was involved in that as well, but I do think even in 2017, before Cora was there, they were warned about using the Apple Watch and sending signals to base runners who would then relay it. But that's harder to do than just that direct line from the video to the hitter. That makes a huge difference.
Longtime New York baseball columnist for the Daily News, amongst other publications, SNY as well. He's a Baseball Hall of Fame voter, and you can follow him on Twitter at NYNJHarper for the latest on his thoughts around Major League Baseball. Joining us this morning on the show, Harper, it's good to catch up, man. Thanks so much. Hopefully we can do it again as baseball season approaches.
Yeah, great talking to you, DA.
You
Thanks.
Too. John Harper joining us this morning on the show. Very cool. I like that. Our toll-free line sponsored by Goreikio, whether you own or rent. Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at geico.com. That's easy. Goreikio. Bilotti has installed Easter eggs across this entire set of reads today because he knew that Mraz would not proofread them. Steven is next up in Boise, listening to 93.1. Steve, you're trashing SpongeBob?
DA, this is your boy Pharrell on the bench. First thing first, can I get a beam up?
Yes, sir. Get up.
I just want everyone to know that SpongeBob and Carver High were in Bikini Bottom yesterday, ripping shots. There is no way that dude is up right now making that phone call. Anyway, hope all is well, brother. This has been your O'Reilly Better Parts, Better Prices.
Shock it, ooh. We got people passing bad, directed traffic. I miss Pharrell already. We spin the wheel also. We don't know who gets Pharrell's spot. 6 to 10, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time here on CBS Sports Radio. Shock it up. When we come back here on the show, we shake it up with Max Starks, two-time Super Bowl champion. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.